You're listening to the Jesus Culture San Diego Message of the Week.
We are going to start a series this week I'm calling The Gift Of. And today we're going to talk about the gift of gratitude right on the heels of Thanksgiving, the thankful holiday. And listen, as you're going to see, God has given us, continues to give us gifts that are for our life, for our benefit, that change, impact, and actually line us up to the way that he has modeled and called us to live. If you have your Bibles, open them to two places. One is 1 Thessalonians 5 and then 2 Corinthians 4. They'll be up on the screen as well. I'm going to start with, as we look at the gift of gratitude, which we see over and over mentioned in Scripture, but the benefits that come from this, we need to pay attention to. So 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll start in verse 16, says this: "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14 says, "Because we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God." This first passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 is actually a common thing you see a lot in Psalms and all throughout Scripture, this thing of rejoicing, this invitation to pray and then give thanks. And there is a disclaimer. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. 2 Corinthians 4 also is highlighting this thing, like the very point of the gospel is that Jesus came to make a way for us. But as you begin to see, thanksgiving is actually something that is connected to the work of God in our life. And as it says in verse 15, all of this is for your benefit so that grace is reaching more and more people. And then it causes thanksgiving to overflow. There's actually a result as we encounter Jesus. The natural response is that this thing of thanksgiving begins to overflow and come out of our life. So we're going to look at the gift of gratitude. And there's this transition that's taking place. We're coming out of Thanksgiving, going into the Christmas season. One holiday is emphasizing thankfulness, which is always good. And this next season, Christmas, then emphasis gets put on gifts, which the greatest gift is Jesus. It's what we celebrate Christmas. But, you know, there's also this pressure like to get that special gift for your friend or for someone like that. And I think it's interesting because as we look at gifts, it's something that you actually have intention, you have thought. Some of you are really good at giving gifts and you like to wrap it really good and surprise people. But whether it's an extravagant gift or a simple gift, the beautiful thing about a gift is there's thought, there's intention. Whether it's a small thing, probably the most meaningful thing about a gift is the person's thought and intentions towards you as they give you that gift, right? And a gift, what is a gift meant to do? A gift is meant to be given, it's meant to be received and opened, right? Like, it'd be really crazy if you're like, hey, I've got a gift for you, and you give them that gift, and then it just sits there, right? The whole reason you get a gift is there's this process of receiving this. This is what we're going to unpack a bit today, is the gift of gratitude that God invites us to, calls us to live, is something that we need to open, and open often. It's a gift, as we're going to see, that God has given us that brings fruit, results, and has a cause and effect that is something that we all want and we need to go after. As we're coming out of Thanksgiving, I don't know if you ever do this, but there's a lot of things that we do, whether it's a holiday or even at church. You just do it because, like, I don't know, I just grew up at church and that's what we do, right? There's holidays, there's traditions and things that we celebrate that we actually don't even sometimes know why we do it, right? We're like, I don't know, it's a holiday, it's just what we do. I was going back and just looking at the origin of Thanksgiving, and maybe some of you know this, maybe you don't. I'm actually going to share some of the history because it actually points to something that's so, I think, powerful as we talk about gratitude, because it's actually in the fabric of our nation, this holiday that we celebrate. So we're going to bust out our history books for just a few moments. This will give you some great fuel, maybe jot some notes down for next year. You can sit down at the Thanksgiving table, you know, and you can share these facts, so you're welcome. Here's the origin story of Thanksgiving. In 1789, George Washington declared Thursday, November 26th, a national holiday, Thanksgiving. But it only lasted for a year. It wasn't connected to the Pilgrim Feast, but rather intended, this is actually a quote, as a public thanksgiving and prayer devoted to the service of the great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. This is a direct quote from this one first Thanksgiving that George Washington originated. Pretty cool as you look at the founding president of our nation actually was recognized. And it ended up only being one day, and then later in the 19th century, Abraham Lincoln was the president, and a 19th century author, poet, and magazine editor named Sarah Josepha Hale. She was the editor of an influential Godey's Ladies book for 40 years, from 1837 to 1877. She was nearly 90 years old when she died. She and her husband, David Hale, had five children, and when he died in 1822, she wore black for the rest of her life. Hale was an education advocate, and through the magazine she edited, became a famous figure in the country who set fashion, reading, and cooking trends. She was the modern-day Joanna Gaines of the time. She was also a prolific author, writing dozens of novels and books of poetry, and penned or co-penned, according to one account, the famous Mary Had a Little Lamb song poem, which was published in 1830. Hale, who was highly patriotic, read about the 1621 Feast of the Pilgrims and became captivated by the idea of turning it into a national holiday. She published it in Godey's Ladies' Book recipes for turkey and stuffing and pumpkin pie, and started traditions that had nothing to do with the colonists and early pilgrims. She began a lobby campaign to persuade President Abraham Lincoln to make Thanksgiving an official annual holiday, using her magazine to build public support by writing an editorial every year starting in 1846. She also sent letters to the governors of the United States and territories, and finally in 1863, almost a little under 20 years later, Lincoln did set Thanksgiving as an official holiday to celebrate on the 4th Thursday of November every year. So Abraham Lincoln was the president to start this tradition of Thanksgiving. In 1939, President Franklin D. Roosevelt agreed to move the annual Thanksgiving holiday to the third Thursday of November. Why? To help the economy by making the Christmas shopping season a little bit longer. There you go. Got to move those units. There was so much opposition, however, to the move that 2 years later, he changed it back to the fourth Thursday in November. So it's just interesting, I think, for a couple of reasons. I'm going to read this proclamation, not the whole thing, but when in 1863, when Abraham Lincoln made Thanksgiving a national holiday, he wrote this proclamation that I think is just so beautiful as you look at our nation. Our nation is not perfect, but woven throughout its history is a heritage, a rich history of honoring, thanking, and recognizing God. Listen to this proclamation. This is what he wrote to launch this holiday that we now celebrate. On October 3rd, 1863, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessing of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so consistently enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are of so extraordinary nature, they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever watchful providence of Almighty God. Towards the end of this, he says, I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise, listen to this, to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens, by the President Abraham Lincoln. That's pretty cool, right? You just think about this thing that, you know, we love traditions, we love eating, we're good at that as Americans. But the origin story is connected to the very name of this holiday, Thanksgiving. So what is gratitude and thanks? These two words are actually very interchangeable. So the word gratitude means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and return kindness. So the word gratitude uses the word thankful or thanks as part of its definition. And then listen to this. The definition of thanks uses gratitude. It's an expression, thanks is an expression of gratitude. Festivals were held to give thanks for the harvest. It's a letter of thanks. So as we talk about the gift of gratitude, gratitude and thanks or thanksgiving are interchangeable. And as we talked about a little bit last week, the crazy thing is, as God gives us these things we read about in scripture, or we read these verses, things like last week we talked about speaking life or our words having the power of life and death. This week, as we look at the gift of gratitude, there's actual benefits that people who don't believe in God, want nothing to do with God, have studied, researched, and are finding that scripture is pointing to these things that we're called to live, practice, and follow as believers actually work. Surprise, surprise, right? The Bible, these things that God invites us to, are for our benefit and for our good. People spend thousands and, you know, just countless hours and time and money on getting these benefits that if we actually pay attention to it, as we're going to see here, there is fruit, there's a result from, in this case, the gift or walking a lifestyle of gratitude. So I was doing some more research. There are actual benefits of gratitude, physical benefits. These are not from Christian church pastors studies. These are from scientists, social studies, all these kind of things. I read a bunch of these. I'll just list a few. There was one article I was reading that listed 10 benefits of gratitude. So one of them being it improves your self-esteem. Interesting. It improves energy and health. It went on to list in another study that being a grateful, thankful person actually allows you to get better sleep. Hello. It makes us happier, more optimistic. We're more resilient and we deal with adversity better when we're walking in gratitude. We're more generous and forgiving. It keeps us present in the moment. We're happier and notice the present moment more. And listen to this, it lowers stress, anxiety, and negative thoughts. When you actually walk in gratitude, it lowers stress, anxiety, and negative thoughts. Another study showed that gratitude can actually heal your brain. Listen to this. What was found was that gratitude causes synchronized activation in multiple brain region and lights up parts of the brain's renewed pathways and hypothalamus, I think that's right. In short, here we go. These words, they get me sometimes. In short, gratitude can boost your neurotransmitter serotonin and activate the brainstem to produce dopamine. Dopamine is the thing in our body that produces happy, good feelings or thoughts, right? You want some dopamine in your life. It says that gratitude, the study found that gratitude actually triggers and causes that to rise. Like that's good stuff, right? This is good stuff. These are the things that we're all like, you know, we don't want to be anxious. We want to sleep better. We want to be healthy. We're like, hey, maybe we should just pay attention to what's in here and actually go after this stuff that God calls us to live. Many of you, actually this last week on Thursday, you sat around your table, and if you're like our family, you went around and said, what are you thankful for, you know? Unfortunately, though, sometimes gratitude or thanksgiving is left to a holiday that we only celebrate once a year. As we're going to see here, gratitude is a gift that we need to open, live, practice regularly. All throughout scripture, we see this. I'm just going to read several verses to you, but scripture encourages us, it commands us, reminds us, invites us to give thanks, to be grateful, to respond to and live from a place of gratitude. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, his love endures forever. Psalms 9:1 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Psalms 95:2 says, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalms 107:1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. His steadfast love endures forever. Psalms 107:8 says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. He satisfies, for he satisfies the thirsty. He fills the hungry with good things. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. This is just scratching the surface. Why am I reading these verses? Because all throughout Scripture, we're invited, commanded, we're given this insight to live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving. And there's benefits. The things that we want the most are connected to this gift of gratitude. But the gift has to be open, has to be used, has to be active in our life to see that take place. I was thinking about this song. It's an old song. I'm not gonna sing for you. I'll read the lyrics to you. Maybe I'll sing to you later. But I can think of moments where this song has come on. Shane and Shane covered it. It's an older song. But the words say this. It says, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, turned me around, how he set my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. The response to the goodness of God, what he's done for you and for me, the natural response is, oh, thank you. When you think about what he's done, I mean, right now in this place, in your own life, what has God done for you? Where has he brought you from? What has he done over and over in displaying his goodness and faithfulness in your life? Gratitude is connected to remembering. But we forget often, don't we? The pattern that often happens in our life, or the thing that gets in the way of us living this lifestyle of gratitude, is that we forget what he's done. You know, a lot of our lives, like this is, it's kind of this incomplete cycle or chain reaction that happens is, hopefully when you're in a tough situation, you come to God like, God, I need you. When we're desperate, when we're broken, when we don't have the answer, more often than not, and this is a good thing, our response is, God, help, I need you. We call out to him. He's faithful. He's going to come through. But what happens is then we stop there. He answers, he comes through, and we forget. There's actually a story in the Gospels in Luke 17 where Jesus had this encounter. You follow the life of Jesus. He's constantly displaying the kingdom. He's healing people and displaying the goodness of God. And there's this one story where Jesus comes across 10 men who had leprosy. If you were a leper, you were an outcast. You were ostracized. You were sent outside of your city or your village or wherever you lived, sent outside to die. The only people you could hang around with were other lepers, your family, your friends. Like, you were ostracized until you would die. And Jesus, who's so good, he has this track record of stepping into impossible situations, into the place where there's no hope, there's no life, and changing the scenario. And we pick up in the story in Luke 17, verse 11, says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. The reason they stood at a distance was you weren't allowed to come close to someone who was unclean. So they knew this, and they're so desperate. They'd heard about Jesus. They're standing at a distance, and they call out. It says this in verse 13. They called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. And they went and were cleansed. Jesus didn't, he just declared it, and instantaneously they're healed of leprosy. They go to the priest. There's another story or an account where Jesus heals another leper. It was one man, and he came to Jesus and said, if you're willing, Lord, would you heal me? And Jesus, this is the beautiful thing about Jesus and what he does for us. He didn't just heal him. He said, I'm willing. And he touched the leper. Like, to do that is unthinkable. But what Jesus does is he comes and he touches the unclean areas of our life and makes us clean. This is the good news of what Jesus does. He healed this man. But in this story here, he healed 10 lepers. They're cleansed. He sends them to the priest. But listen to this, verse 15. Only one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Pause here for a moment. As you read in the story in John 4 of the woman at the well, the Samaritans were to the Jewish people outcast. They didn't associate with them because there's this rift and how you worship and the right way and all this. And it's interesting because it doesn't say this implicitly, but most likely the other 9 weren't Samaritans, but they were actually Jewish people that should know to come and thank the rabbi, but they didn't. They just forgot and moved on. And the one unlikely person that didn't, they weren't associated with the Jewish people, was the one that came back, threw himself at Jesus' feet and said, thank you. He praised him. Jesus asked this man after he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He says in verse 17, Jesus asked him, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to praise God except this foreigner? And then he said to them, rise and go, your faith has made you well. I read this story because unfortunately, in my own life and our lives, more often than not, this is the pattern of our interactions with God. We come to him when we're desperate in need, which is the right thing to do. And he meets us, and he's good, and he's faithful over and over again. And then we forget to come back and respond, remembering, thanking God for who he is. This is the thing that will get in the way of us living this lifestyle of gratitude. But it's not just remembering and thanking him. It's actually beginning to build a log, a journal, a history of the faithfulness of God. Gratitude opens and reminds us that the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. So every time we remember, oh God, you did this then, you did this there, or you hear a story of someone else, it points to, reminds us of the character and the nature of God. Gratitude is not just saying thank you in the moment. It's looking back and saying, oh God, thank you. I won't forget what you've done in the past because you did it then in the face of this mountain, in the face of the need and the uncertainty and the problem that I don't have the answer to. I will remember who you are and what you've done. I'll grab that with me and in the face of the mountain, I'll thank you and I'll praise you. This is this lifestyle of gratitude. This is the gift that we open. I remember in my own life, I've learned this the hard way, and then I've built this habit of a lifestyle of gratitude by seeing the effects of opening the gift of gratitude. There was this one, it was actually September, October in Sacramento. It was almost 100 degrees out. Have you ever had one of those days where it's just everything is going wrong? You're upset. You're angry, you're probably hangry, you're just not happy about life. The kind of days where no one wants to hang around with you and you don't want to hang around with anyone else. I was having one of those days. It was a bad day. And to top it off, I was supposed to lead a men's gathering that night. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to have it all together. I was just like, I don't want to go. Life sucks. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. All the things. To top it off, besides driving, I'm supposed to drive and inspire and encourage people, and I'm just feeling unencouraged myself. I borrowed my friend's truck. It's like an old, like 1960s truck. No air conditioner. It's 100 degrees out. There's not even a radio in the thing. So I'm driving along, just feeling discouraged, down, sweating like a pig in this truck, driving to this church event, right? I had a choice. like, this is not going well. I got to get things together right now. And I've learned in my life that gratitude opens the door to change my perspective. So I wasn't even feeling it. Like, there wasn't even like good worship music in the background, no cool air on my face. I'm drenched, not happy, mad. I just started with what I could, like, and it wasn't like pretty or, you know, no one's around, nothing inspirational. Like, thank you, God, that I'm alive. Okay, we can start there. Thank you for my family, you know. I'm just like trying to pull stuff. I'm not feeling anything. But what began to happen, I just stayed in this place. And like, I share this moment because I've had moments like this over and over, because I've seen that gratitude can change my perspective, change the very atmosphere around me. My circumstances may not change, but I get changed when I choose to walk in gratitude. I was like, okay, we're gonna keep going. I'm getting a little bit of momentum. I roll down the windows, right? This air is going. People probably thought I was crazy. This bald guy is sweating, yelling. I just start like having this moment with God. I just start like, I'm shouting, thank you, God. I start singing because there's no radio, you know, just like going for it. What began to happen, I just began to recount. And when you start to open the gift of gratitude, there's a snowball effect. There's a chain reaction. You start to remember more. Oh, God, you did this. Thank you. You're faithful. This is who you are. God, and I just started recounting, remembering, pulling up my history with God, pulling up the track record of his faithfulness in my life in the face of the problem, the situation, the bad mood, everything that's going wrong. The atmosphere in that sweaty, hot, 100-degree truck changed because I chose to walk in this place of gratitude. Like, this is this gift that we need to open. Do you know that you can't complain and give thanks at the same time? You can only do one or the other. You can give thanks and then complain, but you can't simultaneously complain and give thanks. If you can, that's impressive. I haven't seen it yet. You know, we can go back and forth, but you have a choice in the moment. You can complain or you can choose to give thanks. You can't do both. We have a choice. Thanksgiving, gratitude is a choice. And when we open that gift of gratitude, it opens up the blessings, the promise, the perspective of heaven. I have this gift up here. I don't normally do props, but gratitude really is a gift. But for some of us, we have, you know, this really great gift, and it's like you got it back in 1972, and it's like, well, thank you for this gift. It's amazing. It's beautiful. Look at this wrap job. It's really good. But it's sitting there and it won't do anything until you open it. This is why we talk about this gift of gratitude. It's like, you gotta take this thing. You know, we can learn a lot from kids because, you know, they just, on Christmas morning, there's like a whirlwind of joy, anticipation, excitement, right? They just rip things up. But the gift of gratitude is something in our life that you have to open. No one else can open it for you. When you open this gift, you begin to access the blessings, the perspective that comes from it. Gratitude, listen, gratitude changes your perspective. But you're not gonna have a changed perspective until you open the gift of gratitude. A lot of us are like, I need a different perspective. You're not gonna get there until you open the gift of gratitude, until you step into this place. God, thank you. Listen, it's not a feeling, it's a choice. You may not feel thankful, but you can sure walk in thankfulness. You begin to step out. Remember, there's always things to be thankful for. This is where you just gotta choose. You gotta choose what you're gonna focus on. If you wanna find problems, you'll find problems. You wanna find what's going wrong? Listen, we're all really good at finding what's going wrong in the world. Unfortunately, most of us are just camped out there, and this is where we live. Do you know that as much as the things in your life are going wrong, there's equally, if not more, things going right? You have the choice of what you're gonna focus on, though. You have the choice of what you're gonna feed from. The well of life will produce, the well of thanksgiving will produce a fruit just like the well of complaining, the well of negativity, the well of judgment. They both work. They just produce different things, much like we talked about last week. One of my friends, he has this practice. Like, this is where it gets practical. In his car, he drives his kids, his girls to school every day. And he had other dads out there. You're the Uber driver of the family. It's kind of their thing, right? And he does this thing every morning on the way to school called gratitudes. He's like, all right, girls, what's your gratitudes for the day? And so they just go around in the car and they list what they're grateful for. Like, there's this habit that we need to build into our life of, like, being grateful people, not just once a year on Thanksgiving, like every day. God, thank you. Remembering, it's actually connected to, as you're going to see here, praise. Gratitude and praise. Thanksgiving and praise are interchangeable. They're a natural response. There's actually a practice that we see in the Old Testament, which is similar or connected to this thing of gratitude. In the Old Testament, when specifically the people of Israel would see or encounter God doing something, a miracle, a breakthrough. You see this with Moses and the people of Israel a lot. They would do this thing called building memorial stones. There's a passage I'll read in a moment where, you know, Jesus, he splits, or God splits the Red Sea, or there's a moment when they cross the Jordan River. Like, these are life or death scenarios where there's an army coming against them. Like, you know, like, things are not going to go well unless God comes through. And as you read in the Old Testament, God came through over and over, and they would do this thing where they would take rocks and they would build a memorial. They would call them memorial stones. It was like a permanent structure, so that as these nomadic people would come back by this place, and someone who wasn't there, maybe it was a child, they'd say, hey, they were trained to know, and like, hey, what's that there for? Why are those memorial stones there? And they would say, let me tell you about what God did. It was to help them remember the faithfulness and the goodness of God. There's a passage, Joshua 4. This is the people of Israel are on their journey out of Egypt, and God keeps coming through for them. In Joshua 4:7, there's this moment where it says, tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. There's another instance, actually, in Genesis 28, where Jacob, you remember the story, he wrestled with God. He has this encounter with God. At the end of this moment, in Genesis 28, 18, it says, early the next morning, this is after Jacob had wrestled with God. It said, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head. He set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Do you know what a memorial is? A memorial is a monument, a statue, a plaque, a shrine, a tombstone, a gravestone, a headstone. The adjective of a memorial service or putting this memorial in practice is to commemorate. It's remembrance. It's commemorating something to preserve the memory of a person or an event. It's a monument or a holiday. It's remembering, listen, in our life, it's remembering the places of breakthrough for yourself, for those around you to come. When we begin to remember, we build these memorial stones in our life. It brings thanksgiving, hope, and life in difficult situations. It also can release and bring contagious faith and hope to other people. As we remember, as we build memorial stones in our life, it's for us, but it doesn't stop there. It has a chain reaction, a contagious effect that when you begin to remember and with gratitude and thanksgiving, say, God, I won't forget what you did for me. Not only does it shift and change things for you, but it shifts and changes things for the people around you. Your gratitude, your choice of remembering, thanking God for what he's done doesn't just affect you. It's good enough reason in and of itself, but it affects the very environment and the people around you. I remember it was about a couple years ago, in college, we had this campus church, and we had a college ministry, and our college ministry had several adults. Most of them are retired or older couples that we called sponsors, and they, you know, all these young, poor college students, they would invite them into their house, give them a meal. Many people were from out of town, and so they didn't have family or friends, and so they would invite them over to their house and just love on these students. Most of them, their kids were gone, and so there were all these sponsors is what we called them, and they just loved college students. And about 2 years ago, one of the sponsors, his name was Grant, he died in an accident. It was kind of sudden, and I wasn't able to attend the memorial service, but thankfully it was online. So I remember sitting, I was here in San Diego, sitting on my computer watching this, and like these are those moments, the very definition of a memorial service is to remember a person or remember someone's life. And as I was sitting there, I'm crying, I'm remembering him. And the beautiful thing is as people talked about his life, like it pointed to the goodness of God. And it made me think, and anytime you've probably been in this situation where you look at someone's life, it puts things in perspective, one, about what's most important, but two, it prompts this question, what do you want to be remembered for or by? What you accumulate in material possessions, nothing wrong with them, but that's not what we remember. Even our accomplishments or our accolades, like they're great, but they don't last. The things we remember, point to, as he's talking about this, like Grant, like he was generous and he was kind and he's loving and welcoming and served people. Like these things that like, they're so simple, but so like the impact. As I'm hearing, remembering these stories, I'm like, oh yeah, that's so true. Like I want to be known. I want to be remembered as someone that reflects the goodness of God. Listen, gratitude, thanksgiving is this thing that connects us into what is most important. Like I said, like for so many of us, the thing that's keeping us up at night, the thing that's causing anxiety and fear, at the end of the day, it doesn't even really matter. What matters in eternity? What matters as we look at God? Oh, wait. Reshape my perspective to see what you see. Change me. And help me not forget what you've done. He's never left you. He's never failed you. He'll never forsake you. I want you to stand up as we close here. Throughout Scripture, there's this connection to praise and thanksgiving and gratitude. And this is why we're going to go into closing or shifting up the order of our service a little bit. To respond in praise. The very definition of sacrifice is this: it's surrender, it's giving up, it's abandonment, it's a renunciation, it's a forfeiture, relinquishment, resignation. Scripture talks about bringing a sacrifice of praise. Much like thanksgiving, we don't praise because we feel it. Praise is a choice. Like gratitude. It says in Psalms 54:6, I will sacrifice a free will offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for its good. Jonah 2:9, this is Jonah's response to the goodness of God, even in his own failures. It says, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Listen, the ultimate sacrifice was paid for you and for me by Jesus on the cross. But then we bring to the place of worship, the altar of our lives, we give up the things that we're carrying, we exchange them and take hold of what is ours to what Jesus finished on the cross. Do you know the definition of an altar? I want to read this to you. An altar is an elevated place or structure as a mound or platform which religious rites are performed or which sacrifices are offered to gods, ancestors. The Hebrew word for altar that is most frequently used in the Old Testament is formed from the verb for slaughter, which literally means a slaughter place. The New Testament Greek word used for the word altar literally translates a place of sacrifice. Why am I sharing this with you? We talk about bringing a sacrifice of praise. In the New Testament, there isn't a lot of mentions of altars, because scripture says that our life is now the temple of God. You don't have to go to a physical place, that your life, your sacrifice of praise is bringing your life. Romans 12 says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your lives as a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual act of worship. So our praise, our thanksgiving, gratitude means we come, we bring our life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the problems. We come to this place and recognize, Jesus, you already took care of it. I'm gonna praise you in this place because you're worthy. You already took care of it, and I'm gonna make an exchange. I give you my life. I surrender, not just my life, but I surrender this situation. I surrender this need. I surrender this problem to you. I'm not gonna carry it on my own. I give it to you. And praise is, God, I thank you that you're able to handle this for me, that you're bigger than my problem. You're good. Your track record for me is faithfulness, that you've never left me. You've never forsaken me. True worship is this response. Real gratitude is not that I just feel it and so I'll do it. It's that I choose to open the gift of gratitude to remember, not forget, and declare, God, you are who you say you are. And my circumstance right now does not point to that. I don't see it yet, but I'll praise you anyway. And I'll lay my life as a living sacrifice saying, God, I trust you. Do you know that gratitude, that praise requires faith? I don't see it yet, but God, I trust you. And I'm gonna remember and I'm gonna thank you. God, you've done it before, do it again. As we go into closing today, I wanna invite you to bring a sacrifice of praise, to come to this place and bring gratitude to him. Listen, God wants to change you first before he changes the circumstance. And gratitude is the gift that we open that moves us into this place.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Culture San Diego Message of the Week. For more information on our church, visit jcsandiego.com.